You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast. Elliot Shore Park, James Seltzer with you. An all-time sports day yesterday. There's so much to get into. Obviously, I think, look, every once in a while, Go Birds Radio becomes Go Sixers Radio or Go Phillies Radio.
Go Birds.
Go USM, yeah, MNT right. Radio, whatever. Today, we'll have some Eagle stuff in there throughout, but like, let's be real. This is Go Sixers Radio today. Wow. This is Go US Soccer Radio Day. And honestly, yeah, there it is. Clap your hands,
clap
baby.
Your hands, Pod.
We're back.
Yes.
Call me Jack Fritz today.
That's exactly right. But
we're going to actually start with something that is even bigger than
exciting
that
news.
If that is possible, I believe
big
it is.
Big Pod news.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And we love the Jaylen Brown thing. We're both really excited about it. We're going to get into it. Really excited about a gutty USMNT effort last night.
Crazy.
Just awesome. And we can get mad about the red card and all that. But we have to start with joy, with excitement, with an addition to the podcast family. You know how much we care about our Go Birds family. We always talk about our favorite thing about this podcast is the community that has been created around it. The
yep.
Go Birds listeners, the real ones. Window Nation, a big part of that, the whole thing. And we would like to welcome a big sponsor to the show moving forward. A partner, a friend.
A new family member. Aptly named.
Of the Go Birds family. Ashley, welcome aboard. We're going to have so much more to tell you about Ashley moving forward. We'll get you all kinds of awesome details about
chances
deals
to all hang
and fun
out
stuff.
At the stores.
We're going to have some shows at the stores. Awesome stuff. A furniture company. They are the best out there. We are so excited. We got windows covered. We got furniture covered. We are so thrilled about this.
Let me say this, that, you know, we always joke that when it comes to what we do, sometimes Emily and Kristen aren't, you know, they don't listen all the time, right?
Yeah, and Emily listens never.
Yeah, exactly. So we go, Kristen will listen a little more. But when I told Kristen that Ashley was joining the Go Birds family, very excited.
Eyes lit up.
Already on the website.
Emily.
Looking around.
Thrilled.
We were in the market for a new couch, so this actually works out tremendously
thrilled
well.
Thrilled is an understatement when I told Emily about Ashley. And look, I know personally just from, you know, being someone who observed it from the outside now that Ashley's part of the family. But I mean, what an awesome company. I've always been impressed with the furniture, the way they go about their business.
Walking around furniture stores, too, underrated fun time.
It's a great, I'm with
like
you.
Like when
sitting
I was little,
chairs,
my parents,
couches,
you
it's
can
a
like
great time.
Put your feet on the beds. Like maybe that's not the best policy there, but I used to do it when I was little.
Yeah,
so.
they you know what? We're actually people now, so they might
let us. Exactly. Yeah. We can do whatever we want. Now my shoes always stay clean.
We can do whatever we want. Yes. Seriously, though, from the bottom of our hearts, we can't express just how happy and excited we are for Ashley to be a part of the pod. So we're going to have so much more to tell you moving forward, but the Go Birds community got a little bit bigger.
Welcome aboard.
Got a little
welcome
bit bigger,
aboard.
And we're so excited. Welcome to Ashley. Lots more coming with that as the month moves on, as the season comes about, all kinds of fun stuff to talk about. But shout out to Ashley. They are a part of it. All right. Let's get to something else exciting. We'll get to USMNT. I know that
I think
we'd be leading with
USA.
That.
USA.
Okay, good. We'll get
like
to U.S. soccer.
Yeah, U.S. soccer.
I've been trying to, you know.
So I agree. I always put the USMT when I'm searching for it, but I think verbally.
Well, I've been told, too, that USMT is not correct, that I have to add the N, too. Our good friend
Justin. It's USN. Yeah, it's a USA men's national team.
Yes. Yeah. Our good friend Justin in Richmond texted me
guy.
And was like, listen, man, you got to get this right. And I was like, you know what?
I was texting with Sam last
Thanks,
night during the game.
Look at that.
We have a big
Shout
soccer
Sam.
Community, too.
Yes, and it is exciting. All right, so we're going to get to soccer, but let's start with.
Unbelievable.
Honestly, I talked about this in the air today, and I thought I'm a nerd. I'm sure you do this too. When I go to bed, I'm always thinking about like the next day's show.
Yeah.
And I'm always thinking about usually side topics. That's a fun thing to think about when I go to bed, whatever.
I think about everything in the
Eagles. My brain's always going crazy. So it's a good thing to like when I think about things, I kind of fall asleep.
Yeah.
Last night, I'm scouring my mind of the most surprising moves of my lifetime in Philadelphia sports. And there have been some really surprising ones, especially some signings, like when Cliff Lee signed back with the Phillies. Yeah. I think Cliff Lee getting traded away the day Roy Halladay came was a big one. Namdi signing.
Yeah.
You know, there have been a bunch in our lifetime of some, like, really, what, A.J. Brown being traded here
AJ,
was pretty shocking.
I was
going to
say Saquon was shocking because...
Saquon signing
but
out of nowhere.
There was rumors of it a little bit, like,
and the
in
AJ
the
thing,
hours leading
the
up.
The A.J. Brown name was shocking, but we all thought they were potentially going to get a wide receiver.
Right.
They were in on a wide receiver.
I think that was incredibly shocking.
It was.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I honestly think, in terms of a player coming here in a trade, which the AJ thing would be, I think the Jaylen Brown trade is the most shocking.
100%.
Right?
Like,
of my life. Well, how crazy is that?
Think about this. Now, you are probably a little different now since you became a nocturnal animal, but like...
I live a different life than other human beings,
like, there are very, very few times where I find out about a move in Philly sports from somebody other than like online. Right? Like, there's just almost never where one of my friends or my brother will text me and I was unaware of the deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday, like getting ready for the USA game, I'm walking around the kitchen and I pick my phone up. I had it down, which is rare for me too. And I have a text from my brother and it says Jaylen Brown in all caps. And I'm like, whoa, where'd he get traded? And then like I open Twitter and I look and I had 51 missed text messages in my group chat. And like, I'm like,
you were a little late on this.
This is what I'm saying. Like, so, it was crazy.
So,
you even put something in there. Like,
I know.
It never, ever, ever happens. And so I picked my phone.
I was shocked. I know. It's like, I never beat you to stuff.
Yeah.
And let me give a shout out to our producer, Tucker Bagley. Because Tucker.
Yeah, he was like on a boat somewhere.
Texted our thread immediately to the point where I was the person who let all of my friends know.
Yeah, like
I texted all my group chats, Jaylen Brown, holy expletive. That's what I wrote holy expletive, Jaylen Brown, copied and pasted in every text thread I had.
Well,
and because of Tucker, I was first to all of them. So Tucker was all over it. I had tweet out. It was very, very rare for me to be out in front on
Well,
things.
That's the funniest thing about talking about sports for a living is like, obviously, I talk to my friends about sports all the time. So when something like this happens, I am in probably seven group chats. Like the Go Birds one. We were even talking about it in the Baseball Guys chat.
Well, we went from one to the other.
My two main chat. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'm putting the same thing. Like I'm like almost copying
and
pasting.
That's what I did. I literally was copy and paste.
Yeah.
Holy bleep, Jaylen Brown in like six dead.
Like, yeah. So I think the craziness of it to me is very, very rarely is a player traded where I've not at least considered they could come
to
Philadelphia.
Jimmy Butler, by the way, was another one. When they traded for Butler from Minnesota, that was a shock,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. And weren't we? We were doing a radio
show.
We
did.
Yeah,
we were like,
we were on a
like
remote.
2 seconds from going on the air when it
that's
happened.
That's right. You were,
that actually, that might be the first ever Go Sixers radio.
But yeah, you're right. But what I think is so crazy about this is I never even considered it as a possibility.
Same.
Like when Giannis was available for the last year, I kept saying to myself, well, you never know. Like I wouldn't have done it, but whatever. The fact that they acquired Jaylen Brown, it is one of the closest, am I dreaming this, moments. Like
yeah,
I was like,
it's surreal. Even, I had to check the, even after Tucker, who I trust implicitly,
right.
I went, checked the Shams tweet he sent,
right.
Double checked that it was Shams' account,
it's
went back
insane.
To check the tweet. It was like multiple layers of, is this real, before I even texted everyone.
Well, and the craziest part about it is, it's something, and look, I guess we'll dive into the trade and talk about the pros and cons.
Getting all of it.
But like, first of all, I see everything through Eagles lenses.
Yeah.
Mike Gansey, this move reminds me so much of Howie Roseman. A, and I think this is actually...
And let's include Bob Myers. I think Bob Myers is...
Bob Myers,
Bob and
Bob Myers,
yeah.
But like, we'll just, whatever.
I get your point. The Sixers front office.
Correct. The fact that they did this in complete silence is wild. Like when you talk about Howie Roseman, how many times do we spend weeks on a pod talking about, well, they trade for Myles Garrett, and they never do, right?
And then they trade for Jonathan Greenard.
Right, whenever they trade for somebody, it is almost always out of nowhere. A.J. Brown, out of nowhere. Saquon, essentially out of nowhere.
It was
Greenard
a signing,
was a little rumored.
Yeah. Greenard was a tiny bit rumored.
Right, so like, Howie is elite at doing things in silence. You don't hear about what he's going to do before he does
Bradford
it.
How about the Bradford trade? You know what I mean? That wasn't even Howie, but just like we've had these
the
type of things that come out of nowhere.
Joe said
that one on the air, and that was the closest one I thought of.
The difference is it's not an exciting trade.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So anyway, so just like the fact that they were able to do this in silence is so Howie. The other Howie part to this is it came out that they, 2 weeks ago, I think, or maybe a week ago, asked for VJ and Paul George, mm-hmm. and he said no.
Hold on. And like four first round picks.
Yeah, and he won the negotiation, like flat out.
Like stunningly, to the point where he obviously gave up Paul George. VJ's not giving up, but gave up not even the best first
they
round
didn't
picks.
Give up their top
they
five
up the
assets?
Clippers picks. Right. They have unprotected. The Clippers just traded Kawhi away. The Clippers are going to be a dumpster fire potentially, and they have their 29 unprotected or 20 and 30
something
whatever.
Like,
it is.
I think it's 2028. But
they didn't have to trade them. It's crazy.
Well, if you would have listed before this trade yesterday, if we were doing Go Birds Sixers Radio yesterday, you would have said their top trade assets are like in some order: Maxi, VJ, the Clippers pick, probably Phylon now, and then. You know, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. Right?
Yeah, they think
they didn't
two
give
Clippers
up
picks.
Any
yeah.
of them, which is crazy. And so I think the fact that they did it in silence is unbelievable. The fact that he held his asking price, like it is similar to the A.J. Brown thing. And I have another comparison to this, too. But A.J. Brown, how he was like, I'm getting a first, and he got creative to do it. Gansey and Bob Myers obviously said, we're not giving VJ up. And in silence, they held the negotiation for a week and won it.
While Boston went around and tried to find their whatever. You
and
know?
Then this is the other thing that I think is so crucial and like similar to Howie. Howie is elite at taking advantage of a situation.
Yeah, so that's my biggest thing.
When there is a distressed asset or a team in need.
You know that's my term.
Yeah. Howie is the best at extracting that.
Elliot, yes.
And he... That's what Gansey did.
Yes.
Like, and so...
This is a guy who is way better than, like, his... what he's got the contract. He's got the little bit of me thing. And there are things where, like, that for some reason, his value on the market was not commensurate with his value as a player.
And they pounced on
it. And they pounced on it. And not just that. Like, the Sixers were the perfect team for that risk. Like, I get it. If you're not in a situation where you have Embiid signed and you're in this kind of like win it now spot and you already have these contract problems where you have the Paul George contract to match up, like, this made so much sense for the Sixers, even outside of it being a distressed asset. Like, even if Jaylen Brown wasn't a distressed asset, he made sense for the Sixers in this moment.
So, this is maybe not a great analogy, but you can tell me if it is. So I think it's a little bit like if you're a sales company and you are not selling a lot of stuff and there is a sales rep on the market that comes with a little bit of baggage.
Sure.
He's going to be expensive.
It's a great analogy.
But here's the deal. Like, guess what? You need sales. So like the Sixers need wins. And since Jaylen Brown entered the NBA, no player has won more games than Jaylen Brown.
Ooh, good
championships,
stat.
Regular season,
I mean, and
playoffs.
Also finals MVP
exactly.
And Eastern Conference
so,
finals
like,
MVP. Like
does,
second team All-NBA this year.
Does he have baggage? I guess. Like, if you want to really...
Stats, like, there are some... the people have pointed out some wild stats that would say, oh, maybe the Celtics have been better when he didn't play.
To me,
I
this
think
is...
I agree. I think it's
as
not.
Someone that paints arguments, this is painting an argument,
I
right?
Totally
like,
agree
you are
you.
Trying... to, Boston people are trying to prove a point as opposed to just simplistically looking at this and saying, he's been one of the top 10 players in the NBA over the past however many years. And he's 29. Now, he'll be 30 when the season begins.
And Paul
begins.
George is 36.
Right. Like, he's not... You could maybe argue he is like just past his prime, but he's certainly not Paul George,
no,
right?
Not even close.
So the Sixers are not in a position. You're never going to acquire the perfect superstar, right? Like, you're never going to acquire a guy at a peak of his prime for anything like what they got. So does he have problems? Sure, but guess what? He's exactly what they
need. This is as close
to that. He is exactly what they need. The position, what he does, the playoff experience. He fits well with Maxi and Embiid and VJ. Like, you couldn't ask for a better asset.
This is as close
ways.
To a perfect trade as you're going to get in that situation
exactly.
you're talking about,
so,
to use the word perfect.
I agree that, like, look, do I love the idea of supermaxing them in 3 years? No, they don't have to make that decision now. I don't think. We'll find out. Would I have liked, honestly, if there was a tweet from Jaylen Brown with, like, a Liberty Bell emoji or something? Like, I would like to know.
That he's happy to be here.
Yes, that would be a piece of information. If I'm the Sixers, I would like to know. Now, it seems like there was reporting that he did not request a trade.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, he basically
I'm a
did.
Little,
I mean, he talked on his pod and
agreed,
said, this is my
agreed.
Best year. Like, he knew what he was doing.
My worries now that we've expressed our excitement.
And who knows, real quick, let me get into one other thing before you do that, because I do think there is something with the distress asset thing that just to hammer home. I mean, Brian Windhorst went on television and said, not reporting, but that it's what he's hearing and he believes it, that they made the trade under distress.
Yeah.
That literally he is saying... Boston ownership, and by the way, for those who don't know, Boston has a new ownership group as of February. We know that new owners can come in and do crazy things one way or the other.
Well, especially financially.
Like Matt Ishbia, we know what he's running in Phoenix. We know you see, and they either want to come in and make a stamp or they want to cut money or whatever. It seems pretty clear. Brian Windhorst is saying that Boston ownership, these hedge fund guys have come in, and it feels like they forced this trade. And that is the exact worst spot for an organization to be in.
So here we
I'm talking for Boston.
Agreed. So, like, first of all, I think the Sixers, if not the best team in the East, I think the Knicks deserve the title of best team.
I think the Knicks have to get it, but I think the Sixers are right there.
But because the Knicks are repeating, as we always say in the NFL, like, there is a challenge to that that they're dealing with, the Sixers are not dealing with. I think the Sixers starting lineup is like in the final 5 minutes of a game, I don't think there's any other team in the East besides the Knicks you would want to have, right? Like the Cavs, maybe just because
depends if LeBron goes to Cleveland, that makes it more interesting.
Right,
like
but the Sixers are right there. They have Maxey, they
Sixers
have DJ,
right
they have
there.
And again, if Joel is healthy, I mean, he just eliminated
it's
the Celtics.
If,
I know.
Of course.
So I could not be more in on this.
And also with Joel is, will Joel, we talk about Jaylen Brown buying in and wanting to be here, and will, you know, Maxey's ball dominant, Embiid's ball dominant, all that stuff, will that play out well?
So,
but also the Embiid thing, like this Embiid, and I know it happened a little bit with Maxey last year where kind of like, oh, this is Maxey's team, but Joel Embiid is still Joel Embiid, and he still needs the ball, and he still plays a certain way. Like, Embiid will not just have to stay healthy, he will have to play differently for this to work.
And I think he will.
I lean towards that, too. I'm just saying that if we're talking about the whole picture, that's a big part of the picture.
No, I agree. Like, but I do, and maybe we will talk about LeBron, but like...
Oh, we're going to get LeBron. Don't you worry, buddy.
So,
don't you worry.
I just think it's presently constructed. You could not construct a better player to put on this team.
It's a perfect shot to take.
He's an alpha, blah, blah, blah. So here would be my concerning parts of it, just to give the devil's advocate.
Well, like, Boston went 36-6 in games he didn't play the last 3 years?
So honestly, that means nothing.
It's just a stunning stat.
No, I know it is.
There's something like 96-30
You know what
something,
it reminds me of?
I think it's, you know, I'm with you. It's just there are a lot of those little stats that you point out that could be like, you know, that's
so
weird.
You might not agree with this, but it reminds me of people trying to rationalize, like, actually, the Eagles were better when A.J. Brown wasn't here.
Sure.
Like, you know, like,
yeah, it feels that
like,
way.
Like, you know,
I agree.
A.J.
We all have eyes.
Yes. So here would be my concern, is that even if the Celtics had to trade him under duress, and even if
they trade him to the Sixers?
Yes, that is very concerning.
That's what I mean. If it were Danny Ainge, I'd be a lot more concerned.
Brad Stevens is pretty smart.
He's very good.
Yeah.
But Danny Ainge did that to us so many times. I mean, the Tatum one, a perfect example.
What I don't get is, why didn't another team offer more? That's what I can't wrap
now,
my head around.
Now, here's the thing. It's
now, they give up 2 first-round picks, which is not nothing.
It's possible that other teams... And look, the Paul George for them, that's an expiring contract that opens up a lot of money for them. They're getting off of more years of more money for Brown, and they're opening things up. Like, there are arguments that it makes some sense for Boston. Like, if nothing else, just to kind of clear the way a little bit.
Which is all fine and good, but why would like, the Spurs not offer
a ton
more? Why would...
That's what's weird. I don't... The Spurs make sense, because I don't think
he fits. Well, Spurs and Wemby would be sick.
But, like, a team like New Orleans, there was the rumors for Trey Murphy. Apparently, they couldn't get Trey Murphy, and I love Trey Murphy.
Which is wild.
Yeah, there are a few things like that where it's like, to your point, why wouldn't a few of these other teams, for the rumored type of packages, or a package on their team similar to what the Sixers gave up, why wouldn't other teams do it so that... The point where you would have to think that all else being somewhat equal, let's say they had 4 trades lined up and they're all similar. Maybe the Sixers one's the best one, but it's like marginally, like you wouldn't trade them to Sixers,
agreed.
Right? So it is, it's weird. But I mean, again, when ownership gets involved, I don't know. Maybe they say, we want picks. Like, I don't know. It's so weird.
What's crazy to me is
I agree. That is concerning, and also, but it's also, you know, potentially why they got him.
I think the most likely outcome is they just... No other team wanted him, and that's the...
Wanted him to a point.
Yes, to a point. But the Sixers did not... Like, look, if they would have traded VJ for him, I'd be out on the trade.
Me
I would
too.
Be like, this
of
is too
course.
Concerning,
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So the fact that they acquired... They basically just got him for picks is like, you do it. So, again, if I was Mike Gansey, I would have done
it's a
trade.
No-brainer, but, but I get your point, but it is fair
there
to ask.
There are red flags.
It's a reason
here.
To ask the question.
There are massive red flags.
I would
flags
say they're
here.
More like... Like maroon flags,
yellow
or
flags.
They're like they're on their way right, but I don't think we because of the Windhorst comments, because of the fact that we know that like this is not necessarily a basketball decision by Brad Stevens. I do think we have to question it, like in sense of like maybe it's just that the Celtics were in a spot forced by ownership, and that
the Sixers got lucky.
Got lucky, and it was the best trade on the table because other teams are stupid, or other teams weren't valuing what he could bring them, or who knows, or other teams financially didn't want to pay him. I do think there is an argument to say that what's Jaylen Brown? Let's say, I mean, he was second team all.
No,
I know. But like realistically, a top 15 player in the NBA, I would say, right? Probably.
Oh, well, definitely.
Maybe
I
top 10. Last year he was top 10, but he was the best player on the team. Let's say top 15, we can accept,
conservatively,
right?
Conservatively,
so like he's also one of the like 3 or 4 highest paid players in the league.
Yeah.
So I do think there's an argument to be made that he's overpaid for what he is and stuff. Like, so I do think you can paint a picture where like the asset isn't as good as the player or whatever. But like with the Sixers situation, Like, it's just an absolute no-brainer with the situation they were in. To your point, the question is why? The biggest question, and I agree with you, that and again, I am like 100% in on this trade. Right. I love it. But if you're going to ask me what concerns me,
it's why
the Sixers, right, of all things. And I get it. If that whatever leads to that is fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little like when the Eagles traded McNabb to Washington. A little bit, right?
But we knew. We're like, McNabb's cooked. That's why.
I also just think, so if the Eagles made a trade, like let's say they acquired, I'll just pick Joe Burrow because like a big name, right? For Joe Burrow for one first round pick next year, right?
I think we'd all be like, what's wrong with Joe Burrow?
Correct. But I think we could very fairly follow that up with, but we trust the Eagles' judgment.
Totally.
I don't
Joe
know.
Joe Burrow could have forced his way out. Yeah.
If Brown was like, get me to Philly. It doesn't seem like that's the case. No. I think that would be out by now, right?
Yeah,
I also think if he was unhappy, that would be out by now. But I trust the Eagles' judgment. The Eagles are very rarely negotiating from a point of desperation. The Celtics were negotiating from a point of desperation. I think the Sixers did a great job extracting the most value out of it, and they didn't overpay. They are also somewhat negotiating from a point of desperation, to go back to the sales analogy, where it's like they needed somebody.
Yes,
and they
I agree.
Needed to get rid of Paul George, and they needed fans to buy back in. So I think there's a world where if you're the Spurs, you don't need to take the risk.
And I don't think it makes as much sense for the Spurs. You want the ball in Wemby's hands. You want the ball in Dylan Harper's hands, like moving forward.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
You know?
But I think with my concern with this would be, do the Sixers know what they're doing? Now, they're new, not management.
You feel better with Bob Myers.
They're new GMs and all that. But, I mean, I like Daryl Morey, but whatever.
Yeah, but Bob Myers has four rings. Myers has done a great job.
I mean, Gansey did a good job in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That would be my only thing is, what are the actual chances? And maybe this is like a scarred Philly fan thing, but
no,
like,
it is
that the Sixers actually got really lucky
no,
and acquired a player
Dude,
for really cheap, and he's gonna like be unbelievable.
Dude, we had
multiple
callers say some version of, "I don't trust this trade because of the Sixers," and that's fair. That's fair.
It just
feels like in this case, and again, we can only go on what we're hearing, what we're reporting, and common sense. But with the window stuff, with what people are saying, with the way national people are reacting to it, it really does feel like this might be the rare case where, like, Boston did something stupid for financial or
the Sixers
for whatever
were there to
reasons.
Pounce,
and the Sixers were just the lucky team that was able to, like, take advantage of the situation.
But he also plays all the time, which is crazy.
At a certain thing, a team changes. And a certain, you know, and especially with front office changes, like, it is possible.
Well,
that Daryl Morey was not good at his job. Like, he really, I mean, you can make the argument that one trade for the Harden trade in Houston, like, kind of, like, carried him for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Like, it is possible that Bob Myers is way better at this than him. And maybe these are the type of things that might start happening to the Sixers. I mean, but it's possible. It seems impossible to believe, but it is possible.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, it could be. I saw someone tweet. I can't remember if you sent it in the group chat. Like, this is like the Babe Ruth trade, you know, in terms of just like setting a bad vibe over the Celtics. Like,
love it. Oh, the curse of Jaylen Brown. Give it to me. I want to be hearing that in 50 years.
I really, really would love to know what Jaylen Brown thoughts
Yeah, well, of
are
course.
This. And we will find out. Now we'll find out on the podium when she's not. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, look, it's a trade you have to make. It's stunning. It's crazy. The Sixers season matters now.
Yes, it's thrilling. Well, let's talk about it. One more thing, and then we'll get to soccer. Because you mentioned it before, but there is one more part if you want to talk about the Sixers season being crazy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the LeBron thing. Because yesterday on the air, Joe DeCameron, out of nowhere, just does a whole would you want LeBron the
Sixers.
As
someone that never has their takes age poorly, I can't imagine what he must feel right now.
He was on. I went to him this morning, and I was like, did you know something? He's like, no, man. I just, like, you're great for you, dude. Okay. And I said yesterday, 0% chance LeBron's going to be here. Literally, on WIP, I said, there is a 0% chance LeBron James is going
to be
here.
And to be fair, you were right at the time.
Moment.
I think you're underestimating a little bit the massive unexpected change.
Yes. Nonsensical.
Yeah.
There is more than a 0% chance now.
I
do not think he is coming here. I still would bet on Cleveland. I think it makes the most sense at the end of the day. The Warriors are possible, but the West is the West. Here's what I'll say, though. I think it's on the table. I think the fact that Mike Gansey's brother tweeted out a picture with the eyes.
Explain that first.
So for those who didn't see it, Mike Gansey's brother, Steve, on Twitter, tweeted out a picture of an old Ohio basketball, like, all-star team, high school all-star team. And, of course, the most famous player in Ohio basketball history is there, LeBron James.
And the
guy right next to him, with his arm on LeBron's shoulder.
Smiling.
is Mike Gansey.
And he tweets?
Who was actually the second best basketball player in Ohio when LeBron was there. He's number two in Mr. Basketball.
I didn't know that. And he tweets out the picture with an eyeball
with
emoji.
With eye emoji. So, okay, so just that, whether, like, I doubt, I don't think the deal's done or anything like that, but I doubt that Mike Gansey's brother would, like.
Oh, he knows something.
He knows something.
Of course he knows something.
And then Tony Jones, a report of The Athletic, saying.
Puts out they're trying.
They're trying. So, like, it's possible. Here's what I'll say. And again, I do not think LeBron will come here, but here's why I think it could. If I'm LeBron, he's already won a title in Cleveland. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to the Warriors. That is Stone Cold Steph Curry's team. Full stop.
And you're not winning anything there. Let's be real.
Probably not. But even if you do, if you win there, that will be the fifth title for Golden State. It'll be Steph Curry.
Ask Durant.
It won't be LeBron's.
Yeah.
If he comes here and ends, he just saw a 53-year drought end and what that did for New York. He knows how insane this city is about sports, how intense we are. If they can end a, what is it now, 30-whatever-year drought, a 43-year drought.
Close to 50.
Like, LeBron, like, that is an actual narrative.
It's a feather.
For a guy who really cares about narratives.
Yeah.
And that is something where it's like, oh, he also did that. He also would become a legend in this city forever. Like, all these things, like, where it's like, and again, maybe the Heat have been talked about. He's won in Miami. Like,
right.
I think this is the only, and there are potentially choices we don't know about. Like, maybe LeBron moves in silence and he's a spur or whatever. But even then, that would have the same thing. This feels like, of the choices out there, the best story that LeBron can tell in the final act of his career with winning a title and, like, historic greatness and all that stuff being brought into it, and where these guys, Brown's won, but none of the others have. I, again, don't...
Not only has not won, have not been out of the second round.
That's
like, you're going to a team that is known
that
for losing in the playoffs.
That is literally my point.
Yeah.
So I do think LeBron cares about narratives. I do think he cares about history. Obviously, the Jordan thing, we know he does. That's my best argument for why he would pick.
So I think if he cares about winning and playing basketball, I think the Sixers are his best option. My concern, and why I am not that in on signing LeBron.
So I would do it.
So look, if I'm
and again,
first
this
of all,
is all real quick. This is all under the guise that LeBron would sign for no money. I mean,
yeah,
he would have to think
right,
better
that's
minimum.
The assumption,
and all.
Yeah. So first of all, if I'm Josh Harris, like, I don't care what my basketball people
say.
Oh
my God. Yeah.
If LeBron is willing to sign with the Sixers, like, you do it. I get that, right?
Like, you want to talk about, I mean, talking about sports.
Oh my
for the
God.
Sixers
it would
be the most hyped up Sixers season of our life.
It would be the Heatles. It would be like the Miami Heat again. Like,
yeah,
to
Heatles
a certain degree.
Great.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That's true.
Here's my thing. And again, maybe this is just seeing everything through Eagles lenses. It is a bit dream team to me.
Yeah.
And it is also, I think the Sixers, we just said, could be the best team in the East. I don't think they need LeBron.
Well, LeBron makes them better.
He makes them better.
He can play with anybody. LeBron
if
makes
LeBron
them better.
Is willing to, like, play the role they want him to play.
I don't think he would come here and not, at least on the court, like, play a role. He's not, he knows he's not, like, he bowed to Luka at times last year.
I disagree. I think LeBron, you think the final year of his career.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't think he's
going to change his game.
He did with Luka last year until Luka got hurt.
Well, the Lakers got rid of him. We disagree a little bit on this, but
I think they were moving on to Luka. I think this is a.
But that's weird. If LeBron is willing to do whatever
weird.
The team wants.
They're not winning with LeBron. Like, I think LeBron has a much better chance to win here than he does in LA.
I guess. I mean, Luka's pretty good. They won 50 something games last year.
Isn't good enough.
So,
and the West is the West.
My concern is LeBron walks into the Sixers. A, it's the LeBron show.
Yeah.
All year. Right.
But that's fine. I'm okay with it.
Okay. Like the Netflix documentary, every game is
content,
his final
baby.
Stop.
Look, you're Mr. like bringing Hard Knocks and stuff.
No.
Yeah, go Eagles.
I am saying.
I'm like, no, I want to win a Super Bowl. You're like bringing Hard Knocks.
Dude,
so, you know, you're going to spin that on me.
LeBron signing with the Sixers, I would do it. And I, from a content perspective, are you kidding me? Like,
well, that's a no-brainer.
I would be tracking his shots and warm-ups and tweeting out the stat. Like, it would be crazy, right? I'm saying from a team-building perspective, I think there are major risks they would be taking.
I don't disagree. LeBron's, I'm not saying it's like a no-brainer from that perspective.
LeBron steps in the huddle, and he is, like, he's the head coach. He's the GM. He is the one that will probably be bringing the ball up the court. Like, I think they
I think he should be, I mean, I think point forward is a perfect position.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, they don't have, like, Max is not,
right.
You know.
I just think it would be all about
him.
It would
be a lot of ball-dominant guys, which is a concern.
And
here's what I'll say.
Jaylen
I agree with you.
Brown,
I agree with everything you're saying. And I don't know that it wouldn't go that way or whatever, but here's why I would take the risk. And I know you would too, but I'm saying just from a winning games perspective, forgetting any of the other stuff. I just think it's inarguable with the way this team is built. Like, if they can get someone like LeBron to sign for $3 million or whatever, they'll be so much better.
I get that.
There's no one else they're going to add.
Yes.
But also, I think that if LeBron in this market where he can go to the Warriors, he can go to the Cavs and be the guy. And right. You know, the Harden's not going to be, you know what I mean?
Like, well, if he goes to the Cavs, it's officially a retirement tour.
Yes.
And their season is cooked. I don't think
potentially. I mean, they were in these conference finals. Let's not get too far. But I get your point. I think if he chooses to come here with this group, with this team, I think he's doing it knowing the game, knowing the deal. Like, LeBron is the basketball genius. Like,
agreed,
one of the smartest
that.
Basketball people, players we've ever seen. Like, I think he wouldn't come. And again, if he chooses Philly, it's to win. That's it. He's not choosing it for the media. He's not choosing it to, like,
that,
you know, build something or whatever. You know, he's coming here to win more championships in the last chances he has. So I do think that it would be a unique situation for LeBron where he would be coming here for one reason only, and thus you think, you would hope that you would get that the best version of him on the court for win.
I agree with all of that. I just think
he's LeBron. I get it.
It's not often really old, powerful people. Now he's old in a basketball sense. Change who they are. It's
true.
But you mean like in any walk of life? Like, if you've been ultra, ultra, ultra successful doing it one way, I find it hard to, like, he might say the right things, and I agree with his motives. I would do it. I would actually feel better about the team from a basketball perspective without LeBron. But
I get your point.
Yeah, it'd be,
I get your point.
It'd be worrisome.
I think he's too great and too smart a basketball player to not find a way to fit. But I get your point.
Yeah.
I really do. All right, let's talk some soccer because you want to talk about a gutty performance. I mean, we'll get to the red card and the Balogun thing, which is just absolutely devastating. I hate
it's
every...
just sad.
It's
too.
Sad. It's like
it's such a
and that's
buzz
a shame
kill.
Too. And I was ready to come in and like, and I know that Pulisic is considered their best player. Like, Balogun has been their best player in this tournament.
Agreed.
He has flashed more than any
he
other
finishes,
player.
That which is the
and,
obviously the biggest
and
skill.
He's a pest down there. He makes a difference.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the future part of it. I think the fact that they did get that red card with, what, like 35, 40 minutes left in the game or whatever it was, and were able to not just last, but ultimately at the end put pressure on and end up winning 2-0. I thought it was the most impressive thing I've ever seen a United States soccer team do in my life, literally.
I agree. I think it is the most talented team they've ever had. Now, they have game, like they beat Mexico, I think, in Mexico to advance to the quarter. Like, they have had moments, but to go in as a favorite, and like, this is a transition you see teams make. Like, we've seen the Eagles make this transition.
Yeah.
From 21 to 22.
That's a great point.
Like, to go in as a favorite is so different than to go in as like the pesky underdog. They went into that stadium with everybody expecting them to win against a team that they are better than, to be clear, but obviously had advanced out of the group stage.
And like, all these teams are like, it feels like they're relative. I mean, like Belgium and Senegal goes. All these games have been close. There's been no blowouts.
Only really France.
That was it. France
who
beat Sweden.
Unbelievable.
Who dominated Sweden. That's the only game. Otherwise,
agreed.
Like, they've all been pretty. I mean, I know there's been 2-0 games up, but they've all been pretty tight.
Honestly, the USA controlled that game for 85% of it until the red card, and then really only for 10 minutes or so did Bosnia.
Well, yeah, when they were getting a feel for it. But when they was 11-on-11, like, it was an absolute domination, even though it was only 1-0 at that time.
So I just think the maturity it showed to win that game, I just always find it very impressive when people know they're supposed to win and then they also win. Like, I just think that's such like a skill to do. And so to do that was unbelievable. They're so talented. Like, I thought in the first game of the tournament, the confidence they played with right off the bat against Paraguay, like the moves they were making, the like risks they were taking showed the confidence. I think last night, like, they walk onto that field and it really does feel like they know they're going to win, which is wild to think when you consider like who they are, right? But that's the other thing. Like, if you ignore like the shirt they have on, they are players that play in top five leagues that win all the time, that are sold for a lot of money. Like, they can confidently walk onto a field and say, like, I don't know this off the top of my hand, but I would be shocked if it's not the truth. The USA squad has to be worth more than the Bosnia squad in terms of like sales and money, right?
Sure.
Now, look, if they play Belgium next, which is who they're playing, could be a little tighter. But Belgium's not played well. They were lucky to advance against Senegal.
They were.
I don't know if you watched that game, but
I did.
They were down 2-0.
Belgium's only played one good game.
Exactly.
And that was 5-1 against someone who's not good. I can't remember who it was, but they whooped them.
The other thing I'll say before we get to the red card of it all, because I have thoughts on it, and I think actually you will speak to this better maybe than I will. But like, going into the summer, I think the hope was this would be a summer where like the World Cup was amazing. Everybody got behind it. Like, everyone loves soccer. And it's actually
and it went smoothly.
And that's what I mean. Like,
it's been more than that. Honestly,
agreed.
It's like,
it could not have gone better.
It's gone way better
than I imagined.
You know
what this feels like to me? it was, it's, I think it was 99 with the USA women's team where they had a moment and like it truly did revolutionize
women's. And this is
even
bigger.
Yes.
Because it's the whole country.
That was
country.
Pretty big, but yeah.
No, no, it was. But I'm saying because the World Cup, like the World Cup is here.
Wasn't that in America?
It might have been, but like it just wasn't as big a deal.
I'm saying
the Men's World Cup being here is such a big event. I'm saying it's just a bigger thing.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, and then like, dude, and we've talked about it a bunch, but our side topic today, obviously with July 4th coming up and we're not on the air tomorrow, was what makes you feel patriotic.
Yeah.
And my answer was seeing all these videos of all these fans across America interacting and doing things with us. And we've talked about it. It has been one of the great American experiences of my lifetime, sports experience of my lifetime, this World Cup thing. It really has been as a country, I mean, like, you know, as good as any Olympics,
just like
as good as any, like
the scenes after of all the fans chanting USA.
Or the,
like,
yes, or I mean, the country road thing. I literally text you guys. I'm like, am I the only one sitting here bawling my eyes out?
It was crazy.
I'm crying. I'm sitting there
the
crying.
Country roads thing, like, gives me chills.
Me
to watch.
Too.
Yeah.
Like, it is such
it's
a
so
beautiful
cool
thing.
And like,
it's a moment. It's real.
Well, and this is, again,
it's sports. Sports are the best.
I see everything through. Yeah, that was you texted that. And that
I
was just
tweeted,
so true.
That's when
like,
I tweeted sports are the best when that was happening. I was just like, this is beautiful, man.
But like, man. We have also seen in Philly sports and with the Eagles, and the Phillies had this in 22, obviously didn't capitalize, but like when you have your chance, man, like you have got to do it. And it just feels like they have their chance. Like they just do. Like Belgium, they can beat, and then they're likely playing Spain after that. Spain is very good, but Spain's not looked awesome
Spain
either.
Spain
hasn't so
looked
far.
Great, yeah.
Now look, they would.
I think France and Argentina have felt like a
France
cut
and
above so far.
England's looked terrible.
England, yeah. I really feel like France and Argentina have looked a cut
Brazil's
above everyone
not
else.
Look great. Yeah. So like, beating Spain will be hard. But man, like the momentum they have, the fact that they'll be at home for all these games. Like
that if they get through this one, they'll have Balogun back for that game.
Yes. And like Mexico is not a great team, but look how hard beating Mexico in Mexico has looked.
England has to play Mexico in Mexico.
That's going
to
be an unbelievable game. I know.
Dude,
like,
I can't wait. Dude,
plus,
like, you really,
almost
I'm sure
for Mexico
you do. Do people, are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, England's my
I
team.
Am full in.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
you
yeah.
actually have connected.
Right, yeah.
So I have a Chihuahua, so we always joke that we root for Mexico for Ruben. But
Taco
like,
Bell reference.
I do, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I love the Mexico thing. Those scenes out of those stadiums in Monterrey.
It's crazy.
It is one of the coolest things. The scene in Mexico City when they won their knockout game, it looked like it was like the biggest party I've ever seen in my life. Like
it
was like carnival or something down
there.
It
really is just bringing the best out of people.
It just matters.
Like, there's like,
and then that stadium with the mountains and it's like the most beautiful stadium on the planet, maybe. And then on top of that,
Guadalajara, I think.
Yeah, do you know realize how high it is there?
Yeah, well, England was talking about that.
Well,
yeah,
the play, dude, it's so mile high. Cores, that old thing that spike is like is illegal in America. It's like 5,000 feet up, 5,100, whatever it is, like a mile high, 5,200, whatever it is. It's 7,200 feet.
It's crazy.
There. It's 2,000 feet higher. That is like a real advantage for Mexico.
Of course. And not to mention, like, England's best player is not the most athletic young
Harry.
Guy. You know, it looks like he's pushing out there no matter what. But yeah, no. I mean, like, this is their moment. Like, they have everybody behind them. They're playing well. They're confident. They also have, like, such a good mixture of proven talent that is also not past their prime, that is, like, entering their prime, that has experience. Like, they check all the boxes. It's just the Balogun thing.
So let's get to the red card. I'll say mine first because you know this so much better than me. Like I am going on, like you have watched so much more soccer. You know what red cards are supposed to be on, and I know the rules. I know that I think a lot of people get confused. It doesn't have to just be intent and all that. There's, but here's my thing, and I think the announcer actually did a great job of breaking it down. It's like, and you know I've said this on this pod about other sports. Like I think they should have to look at the instant replays in real time.
Agreed with that.
Like I think the slow-mo always changes these things and always makes it worse than it is. And the announcer was saying that. I've said this on the spot so many times. Like you watch that play in real time. Like they were both going for the ball, man. Like it just did not feel like it was a purposeful clamp down.
Oh, well, it certainly was not purposeful.
And I know we caught him at the end there, but I think when you watch it in real time and not in slow motion, it just doesn't look nearly as bad. Like, I understand that him not giving a yellow card doesn't mean they can't give a regular. Like, it felt to me like a clear yellow card. And you know better than me.
Right.
And especially when you take into
right, that's not true.
When you take into account, like, the impact on the tournament. Like, I know but like, Messi, I know the clip was going around where he
One is
way worse
to me.
And I get you're not getting a messy red card. That's fine.
I'm fine with
but
that,
too. But, like, in this case, like, I thought it was outrageous.
So
they gave him a red card. Outrageous.
I think one thing that's very true with soccer is it really, really punishes small mistakes. Like, if you fall behind 1-0 off of, like, a bad pass in the back, like, that's a monumental mistake that, or a relatively small mistake that gets punished heavily.
Yeah.
An unintentional handball in the box.
Yes.
In the corner of
yes,
in the
and it's
front
like an
corner.
Automatic goal almost.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, look, a red card, in my opinion, is an overly harsh punishment.
I totally agree with you.
Like,
and especially a red card, the next game thing. Like,
yes, yes.
They already had to play a man down for almost an entire half of football. Sorry,
right.
Went football. Look at me. I'm soccer there. Like, isn't that enough of a punishment?
Agreed. Yeah. And, like, look, if he would have swung and hit somebody.
Yes.
Then I think you can make the argument, okay, well,
there,
clearly
there should
it's
almost
a red,
be like a yellow, then, a orange, and a red or something. There
I just
should be
think
something in between
and
them.
And I understand that in the moment, the ref can't be sitting there and saying, look, if I give him this red, he's out next game. I get that that's a lot to take in the moment, but if you're going to make the punishment, you have to consider
it's
it.
A part
like,
of the, it's, part of, it's a punishment. If you're going to send someone to jail, guess what?
Yes,
you're gonna
you
think
have
about
to consider
what's...
it. Like, so I just feel like, first of all, like, to your point, when the spikes go up on the back of the leg, that is bad. For sure. You can really hurt somebody that way.
Yeah. Oh,
people
yeah.
tackle that way. Like, but in my opinion, his spikes go up, like, not unintentionally, but it's he didn't go in with the spikes.
He didn't
up.
Like
right, you
he
see
was, like,
so,
stepping over.
You see so many tackles, which are very dangerous
yes.
and deserves red, where they slide in spikes
and
up.
See the
and
spikes
that is a red, right? But man, to kick him out for that, like it just, and then you feel for him. Like, he was having his moment. He's been
well,
so good.
And
this
especially
is
his whole story, too. Do you know the story about how he actually.
Oh, yes.
Unbelievable
it is the most...
story. I mean, the guy, like, for those who don't know, we won't tell the whole thing, but basically, he is on the American team because his mom couldn't get on a plane when she was pregnant.
In America.
She, yes,
yeah,
she was
yeah.
here and she was too pregnant to leave.
The flight attendant wouldn't let her
and
on.
And that's it.
Which is kind of wild.
Wild.
I would love to know the rules.
Flight attendant.
Well, I would
thank
love
you,
to
lady.
Know the rules there.
But like, they I agree. I
yeah,
feel like,
right. Like,
I, feel like it's
never,
like
I didn't even know that was
say,
something
go,
you could
but
consider.
I don't think they can tell you that. Yeah. So, but that's it. It was like a fortuitous thing, and then he actually chose us.
Yes.
He chose us,
and he's been unbelievable.
It is, and he, and to your point, he has been the U.S. star of this tournament so far. He's
yeah.
flashed. He has made himself into something. He seems lovely. Like, he seems
yeah,
like
he
an seemed, awesome
yeah,
guy.
Agreed.
Like, he's always
you
smiling.
Feel so
and,
the way he handled it was super classy too. Like,
I know.
He walks off the field, and I don't know if you saw this. He comes back on the field afterwards. He shakes the hand of all the refs, and like doesn't get in their face.
It's
like,
unbelievable.
I think he has every right to be absolutely livid.
Yes.
And then the fact that they can't appeal it
you,
is crazy.
Is,
like,
is nuts. How do you not have some form of rule where you can appeal? It's crazy.
I did see something where it's like, you can appeal the use of VAR, but you can't appeal the decision, which is weird. Now, if you want to be optimistic about it, what I will say is,
rally.
Soccer is the one sport where losing one person is the most you can
oh, totally agree.
You
yes,
can get
yes,
over it.
Yes,
now,
yes.
But that being said,
it's the person you least want, him and Pulisic
yeah,
are the
well,
two guys
like
you least
his
want.
Finishing skill on our, like, is unbelievable.
They don't have that otherwise.
I mean, he could, they,
he that, felt, he, that's the other thing.
He could have had three goals.
He could
yeah,
yeah, did he? By one, he's had yeah. two callbacks for a minute. He is, of all the guys they have, he is the most, we've never had a guy like that USA player.
It's so true.
Right?
I think he's the most talented forward they've ever
had,
in my opinion.
We've just never had a guy
like
that.
Not to mention, like,
we've never had a striker who could
literally
do that kind of
Arsenal
stuff.
Literally, Arsenal signed him.
Yeah.
Now he's not there anymore, but still, just to speak of the level of
just never
of
had
talent,
a guy. Watching, as I watch every World Cup in my lifetime that the US has been in and all that stuff, like, I've never seen us have a guy like that.
So the other thing I'll say about the game is, the free kick goal, and again, we're in the moment,
brilliant.
Hyperbolic. I truly think hitting a ball like that is the most impressive thing in sports.
I think scoring from outside the goal mouth is one of the most impressive
yeah,
things
like,
you can do in sports. I went
the placement of it, and because
of the World
free
Cup,
kick.
I've been showing Emily some like old stuff or whatever. Like, I've been showing her Messi highlights, Maradona, like, to try and get her, like,
have
you know,
shown her the Zlatan over the bicycle.
So
kick?
I have it saved in my phone to show her. But what I did show her is I showed her, like, it was like a David Beckham 10 best kicks thing. Because I was like, she knew bend it like Beckham. But I was like, do you know, like, have you actually seen him bend it like Beckham? And she was like, no. And she watched and she's like, this is miraculous
it's
that
insane.
This man can kick a ball like that. Like, it's miraculous.
Everyone knows
and
the placement
was like,
has
it wasn't
to be
quite Beckham, but that was like a Beckham-like kick.
Like, it would almost be hole-in-one-ish, but I think hole-in-ones have a certain degree of luck to them. Like,
absolutely.
Right.
They do,
so
yes.
I think with this, there's almost no luck.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
no,
like,
you have to hit well, but I think there's a lot of luck in hole-in-one.
Yes.
It is what it is. Like, you know?
It's just, it was crazy.
It was,
to make
it really
that
was
shot
amazing.
Is insane.
It was amazing. And, you know, especially in the moment, knowing that you're man down, knowing that at any moment, odd man break could tie the game, and then you're playing extra time a man down. You know, it was, man, especially losing Balogun. Like, so I hope, let's flip it out to Belgium, and then we'll get to final thoughts. But to your point, they can absolutely beat Belgium without him. It would have been better with him.
Ricardo Pepe will probably start. He is pretty good. He is not as good as Balogun.
No, he's not. But
like, his whole
least,
thing is finishing.
And like, he at least has some moves, it seems. Like, he's quick of feet.
He's worth decent money on the transfer market. Yeah. He's not like a scrub.
He's not a scrub. Also, you gotta hope, and I don't know soccer as well, but I know sports. I know American sports. Like, I hope they're going to rally around that.
Oh, for sure. Because
that's the kind of thing, like, Nick Sirianni be like,
yeah,
they won't let us have our guy.
It's not one guy. Yeah.
Let's go out and win it for Belgium. Yeah. Like, you know, like that kind of
thing. I think it'll definitely
I think
that,
so, too.
For sure. And Belgium, again, just hasn't looked that good. They were lucky not to. Now, they
I think we just all remember
players.
The Tim Howard game. It's all in our heads.
Yeah, but I think they're going to win.
Oh, all right. I love it. Monday. Can't wait for that. All right, let's get the final thoughts.
We'll be on the show together Tuesday morning, too, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah. That'll be sweet. Oh, yeah, no, that's, right? Is that this week? Oh, because you're on with Joe.
I'm on Monday, Tuesday, with Wednesday.
Me.
Yeah, and you'll be there.
Oh, hell
so,
yeah. Right,
yeah, so we'll be
awesome.
Able to talk
we'll be doing
it.
A pod Tuesday, too, so we'll, that'll
yeah.
be, yeah. All right, awesome.
All right.
Let's get the final thoughts, my friend.
There's literally nothing Eagles. Right.
Yeah, and it's okay though.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that.
You
I'm just
did
trying
a
to,
nice job making some Eagles. Like,
yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anything.
I don't think there's anything to talk about. Honestly, like, I just legitimately.
All right, so 4th of July is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm having people like my family at my house. We're gonna watch the fireworks, and you're welcome to at night if you and Zoe want to come and Emily.
Yes, awesome.
But I bought a grill. Obviously, it's an electric grill.
Obviously, goes without saying.
I am. Very firmly, team hot dog over hamburger. Like, if I could only have one or the other, I think hot dog is the clear choice. I think there's a specialness to a hot dog that a hamburger doesn't have. You can get hamburgers on almost every menu. And this is not anti-hamburger. I really like hamburgers. But hot dog, to me, has way more of a vibe feel to it than a hamburger.
So I get it. Zoe only eats hot dogs, not hamburgers.
They're
so she would
good.
Love
and
it.
Like, I'm a big ketchup, relish, and mustard guy.
So I'm a ketchup and ketchup and mustard
guy. I like
guy.
Cheese on them.
I like ketchup and mustard. People don't. I don't care. I like all. I like a Mexican hot dog. I like all chili dog. I like it all. So
sauerkraut.
If I had to choose, I would go burgers over dogs. But it's really close for me. I love both. And it's a time and place thing. Like at a hot dog. I mean, hot dog. At a baseball game, like hot dog by miles.
Agreed.
Like,
yeah.
You know, when I'm walking, like there are spots for each, but I think I get your take. I do think the hot dog is cooler than the burger.
It has a vibe to it that a hamburger does not.
The hot dog is way more fun than the burger, and I agree.
Little less
filling. The hot dog sandwich, the hot dog eating competition.
You can have two of them, like hamburgers, you're probably only having one.
And I do think for this specific holiday, July 4th, I think you think hot dogs before hamburgers.
For sure, 100%. So I'm very excited for that.
It's a good. I like that one.
Thank you.
That's a good final thought. I don't fully agree with the hyperbolic nature of it, but I agree with the heart of what you're saying. Okay. I'll do one of my dumb, like, not profound, but you think it sounds profound things.
Love it.
Do you ever think about whether you're watching a movie or listening to a song? I do it with these two things. That you're the only person in the world at that moment listening to that song.
So I think you have said this, and I don't think about it, but I think there's actually a way better chance than you would probably acknowledge.
No, I think with certain
happening.
Things there yeah. are. I think with certain
even
things
with all so many people in the world, like
so that's what I wonder though, because like I think with music, like maybe it isn't. Like maybe there is someone listening to the same song with you at all times
don't
across
think
the world.
So.
There's 8.5 billion. People.
I know, but like first of all, think about this.
The
like,
odds
just
like,
break it down.
I just wonder what the odds are.
8.5
like, I can
billion.
Understand if you're watching like a super random movie at 2 o'clock in the morning on a. Even then, it's not 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Probably you're probably the only one with that. But I think songs. I don't
so
know.
Here would be like I don't know why this example came in my head. And where you're talking music, I'm thinking TV. But like, let's say I'm watching episode 7 of season 4 of Boy Meets World at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Just like, what are the chances? Because if you look at 8.5 billion people,
I know.
Half of them. Are either
well,
like
that's why
too
I think
young
music
or too
is
old.
Hard. I think music extends further than movies and whatever TV because
people,
that's more just America. I think music goes everywhere.
I agree, but I also think at any given moment, I think way more people are watching something on
so
TV
think,
than they are listening
but
to music.
That's, I don't know about
listen
that.
Listen to
music.
Music
is pretty.
No,
ubiquitous.
Music is going to make it. I agree, but like I just think yeah, I think
music's got
is going to catch on.
I feel good about it,
but like I just think listening to music, you kind like. Maybe I'm just like overexpressing how I take music in, but like, do you think a lot of people listen to music in their house? Like, I think people listen to music
I
when
do.
They're traveling.
I
when
think,
they're
I think more people do than you.
Okay,
think. I think
maybe.
People have
so,
it on when they're doing stuff. People
yeah,
have it on
maybe
in
right.
general, like when you're hanging out with your wife, just
now,
chilling.
Now with music, I think there is way more of it too.
That's true too.
Like there's
look,
just,
and I think it all depends on how unique the or rare the thing. Like
right,
if
like,
I'm listening to a band that has you know 500 followers on Spotify, it's probably more likely
agreed,
that you know
yeah.
or
now like. Kristen's cousin's band Wednesday. Very big deal. But like, what are the chances that somebody else is listening to the exact song?
No, that's good. I like that.
So I think there's a better chance than you would think.
I do. And also keep in mind, like, right.
Of the 8.5 billion people,
how often it happens, and like, is it something where like, am I always listening to it? You know what I mean? Like, how often does it happen the other way? Then I'm very intrigued by the whole concept of someone else doing the exact same thing as me somewhere in the world without me.
I think it's way higher than you think.
You're probably right.
Like 30%. Like,
I'm intrigued.
Just, what are the chances? Like, half the people in the world, like a lot of people don't even speak the same language.
No, so you're convincing me. You're convincing me. I like it. All right. We'll be back next week. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. We're off on Saturday because of July 4th, but everyone have a wonderful 4th. You know, yeah, it's a really fun, big one. Fun. 250, yeah. The whole thing, the World Cup game. We'll be
looks like the rain might hold
back
off.
To react to it after the weekend. A hot weekend. Stay warm or cold. Stay safe.
Next week.
Drink water. Go Birds mornings next week. Yeah. And then the week after, more Go Birds mornings. The radio show next week. The whole thing. And again, Ashley, baby.
Yes.
We love you. We are so excited to have Ashley as a part of our family. So much more about that coming up. So until then, he's Elliot James.